Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from that Holy Spirit who wings faith into our hearts. Dear Christian friends, the word of our God for our consideration this morning is that Old Testament lesson recorded for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. There we heard the Aaronic blessing. The story is told of a pastor who was once giving an opening devotion for Sunday school when he decided to pull the children there. He asked a pretty simple question. What is your favorite part of the church service? A young boy eagerly threw up his hand and started waving it around in the air, and so the pastor called on him. The young man had his answer. Pastor, it's the words at the end. The pastor smiled. And then he said, those words are beautiful words, as beautiful as they are ancient. What is it that you like so much about them? The little boy, just as eager, had his answer and fired it right back out there. Pastor, it's because when you say them, it means I get to go home. It's a cute story, isn't it? Brings a smile to our face even as we hear it, but I certainly hope that the words of the Aaronic blessing are far more to us than just the final words at the end of a good novel or the concluding words of a good movie. It has to be more than simply the end. And so today our God gives us an opportunity to pause for just a moment and look at those words which he gives to Aaron to speak over the people of Israel. As we consider them, may we find ourselves marveling at the threefold blessings of our triune God. We have a Father who blesses us and keeps us, a Son who shows the fullness of God's grace in his own face, and the Holy Spirit who guides and guards us into true and everlasting peace. As we dig into those words of our Old Testament lesson, I guess the very first one we should consider is the name that God uses for himself there. We see it four times. Three times, God tells us that he wants it spoken over the people of Israel. No doubt, one of the reasons that we read this lesson on Holy Trinity Sunday, as we remember our triune God. It's the word Lord, all in capital letters. And whenever we see that printed like that in the scriptures, that's the Hebrew word Yahweh. It's the tetragrammaton. This is the covenant name for God. It's the name that he gave to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. It's the name through which he revealed the promise of the Messiah who one day would come and reconcile God to his people again. As he speaks, as he reveals himself to us as that triune God that completely shatters our minds when we try to think about it, three persons, one God. The divinity of this Lord is fully on display for us. This is the creator of the universe, the one who made and sustains everything for us. And yet there was something else that grabbed my attention as I was studying the Hebrew for this lesson. As you read through it, as God addresses his people, all of the words are connected with a singular suffix, which doesn't mean a whole lot, unless we realize that talking to a group of people, they really ought to all be plural. And yet here God is, doing what he does in such an amazing way. Very much like he does in the Lord's Supper for us, as he comes to each one individually and he says, here is my body, my blood under bread and wine, given for you individually for your forgiveness, that you might be sure of the salvation that I give to you. This God who transcends everything, all time, all space, now searches all of that and finds you individually and speaks to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. As you contemplate that for just a moment, marvel at that. Go home this morning. And when you get there, I want you to pick up your phone and I want you to call the President of the United States. And when he answers that phone, I want you to ask him if he can recognize who you are just by the tone of your voice. Good luck with all of that last sentence. You can make it a little easier and say, okay, try to call one of your state representatives then. And should you get through to them when they answer the phone, ask them if they know what your favorite meal is. Make it a little simpler yet. Go to the very local level, and when you talk to that individual, ask them how many hairs are on your head. They're not going to be able to answer those questions. And that's okay. They have to think about so many people all of the time that all of the little specifics about each individual one of us are hard for them to focus on. But God, who is in control of far more than a village or a state or a country, knows you individually, knows everything about you, and speaks to you as he gives his blessing. And what does he say? The Lord bless you and keep you. As I hear those words, I'm reminded of the work of God the Father, or at least the work that we usually attribute to him. This is the God who created and sustains everything, who pours out his blessings upon his people. And he really does that. Again, today, when you go home, stop and look around the place a little bit. The next time you find yourself at work, look around the office. Just look around the church this morning and see how many blessings God has poured out on us. It's amazing, isn't it? And yet the blessings of our Father go far beyond material stuff. There's the spiritual as well. This is the Father who takes care of every one of our needs, and so he sends out his Holy Spirit. He loves us enough that he would even send his Son for us. And even if this morning we could somehow enumerate all of the blessings that the Father has given to us, we would still only be halfway through his work. Because not only does he bless us, he keeps us, sustains us, and holds us with him until we stand with him forever in heaven. Consider that work for just a moment. How God answers all of the individual petitions of that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray to our Father who art in heaven. As he keeps his name holy, as he drives away temptation and evil, as he holds us close to himself, even providing the daily bread, the physical blessings that we so often crave. And God's capable of doing all of it. Because as we say at the end of that prayer, all dominion, all glory, all power belong to him. Of course, when I'm confronted with that kind of power, I get just a little bit nervous, too. Because after all, this Father who has all blessing in his holy hands is also the one who demands complete and total righteousness. A righteousness, I have to admit, I just can't provide. In fact, if we would just back up a little bit in the book of Numbers to chapter 5, we would find headings like these. The purity of the camp of Israel, God expected it of his people. The restitution for wrongs because, well, guess what? They were happening. The test for an unfaithful spouse, because even that would prop up among God's people. Yes, sin was everywhere, even among the people of God. And with sin comes a terrifying reality. In the book of Deuteronomy, we're told, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way I have commanded you today by following other gods, which you have not known." Sin doesn't bring blessing. It brings curses. And Jesus himself enumerates for us what that curse is when he says, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Sin deserves hell. And yet, as fearsome as that truth is, it is met and answered for us in the second hearing of the word Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. There is only one way that a holy and a righteous God can turn his face toward a sinful people and not have them completely and totally annihilated. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the one that God sends into this world because he loves us so much. This is the one who provides that great exchange for you and for me. As he lives the perfect life that we are incapable of living, as he goes to the cross and takes all of our sin upon himself, that in his blood and in his pain, he might provide complete and total payment for all of it. In his resurrection, giving us the proof that he has won the victory for all of us, that we are saved. That's the very definition of grace, isn't it? God's undeserved love for us. When God gives us something that we could not earn on our own, because our Savior earned it for us. All of his blessings become ours through that amazing gift of faith. Of course, Satan never goes down without a fight, does he? And so he now grabs that word faith and he tries to twist it for us. He tells us that faith is something that we do. It has something to do with the power of our mind or our actions or something that makes God happy with us somehow. Of course, all of it flies in the face of Scripture that tells us very clearly that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there comes the solution to the problem again, doesn't it? Once more, we are turned back to our God, this time to the third hearing of that name, Lord, where we find true and lasting peace. Martin Luther once wrote, "It is the Holy Spirit alone who attains to the certainty of faith in Christ without any doubting." You want to have the certainty of faith? Then listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit as he works through us in his means of grace. For most of us, he comes first in those blessed waters of holy baptism. As the Spirit wings faith into our hearts and makes us children of God, he continues to work through the powerful word that was connected to that water throughout our entire lives as he reminds us of the blessings that our Heavenly Father pours out upon us and how he keeps us in that one true faith. He sustains us and feeds us in his Holy Supper, where Jesus in his body and his blood individually to each one of us offers what we so desperately need, the forgiveness of our sins, a new life lived right now in this world, the certainty of salvation, eternal life, stored up, waiting for us with God in heaven. All of it provided from first to last through the work of our God and through none of our own. And so we can be certain because it sits in His almighty hands. As this sermon started, we had that cute little story about the young man who was answering his pastor. And while we maybe giggled a little bit at it and a smile came to our face, the truth of it is that young man was exactly right. As we are reminded of the Aaronic blessing and the truths of our triune God, you and I are reminded that we get to go home, not to physical places, but to the lasting home of heaven, provided to us by our God. It's not the end of the sermon, or the end of the service, rather, just yet. But let's pause and hear those words of blessing nonetheless. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.